Bibles. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. I read an interesting story this week. It's about a fellow by the name of Lloyd Baker. This past week, he turned 104 years old. Friends had a party for him. I don't know how many came. They had to postpone the party because he had to go to work. 104 years old. He's employed as a supervisor, or a surveyor, excuse me. And he attributes his long life to the fact that he hasn't used soap in 50 years. I'm wondering why they really postponed that party. You know what I'm saying? Not too many comments about that. Other than, he might not be someone that you would want to share an elevator with. Yes. You know what? A lot of Christian people don't use the spiritual soap that God has given to them. They're not in the Word, or they are not receiving the Word. They are not growing in their Christian life the way they want to. And so when you get around them, there's kind of a, there's sort of the smell of flesh. You know, spiritual armpits. You know, there's something there that's just not good. Something doesn't radiate from their pores, and something else does. We don't need to be Christians like that. We need to be Christians who are growing and responsive to the Word of God. This morning, I want to talk to you about the parable of the soils and how our response to what is preached and taught is so important. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. And here's one of the parables he gave. Hearken, or behold, listen. There went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, then the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not yet much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And then some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, to all of those people, he's bunches of people on the shore side. Then he talks to each one of them individually, and he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so what God says when he gathers a group of people there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he says, I know I'm preaching to a lot of people, I'm teaching a lot of people, but now I want each one of you as an individual, I want you as an individual, really hear. Don't just hear the words, but hear what's being said and let it be applied to your life. Parables. Why did Jesus give parables? Well, there's a couple of reasons for it, I believe, but before we do that, let's go ahead and let's look at his interpretation of the parable. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. When he was alone, they that were with him, the 12, asked him of the parable, and he said, what did you mean by that parable, Jesus? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are on the outside, without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. What? Jesus is talking now about the purpose for parables. Now, there's one purpose that's obvious, and that is he gave the parable to the multitudes to show them something about their response to the Word of God. But there's another purpose for parables. And that purpose was stated in these verses that I just gave to you, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear. You know what he's saying? He is saying that there are some people who are unwilling to listen to what God says. And for those people, parables are there to hide what God has said. Now that sounds harsh until you realize that God holds all of us responsible for what we hear from the pulpit and for what we read from Scripture. And God gives light to a searching heart, but to a rebellious heart that does not want to listen to Him, God sends darkness. And so the dual purpose of a parable is, of course, to teach, but it's also to hide. And so these are not my, like the president has his teleprompters. These are not teleprompters. These are warnings, and I want you to see these warnings, because it is a dangerous thing to be under the sound of the Word of God and not respond properly. It's a dangerous thing. Now, let's go ahead and understand a little bit more about why Jesus said what he did about giving darkness to those. Mark, the chapter right before this, gives the context. This may help you. Verse 22 of Mark 3. The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said about Jesus, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils he casts out devils. And Jesus rebuked them for that. These people are rejecting the miracles that Jesus has done right before their eyes. They can't deny that the miracles took place. So what they're saying is, well, he didn't do those by the power of God. He is doing them by the power of the devil. And in doing that, in essence, what they are doing is they're rejecting the very Messiahship of Jesus Christ. They are rejecting him as Savior. And the context says that's the unpardonable sin. So in that context, God says, all right, if you're going to reject me, then I am going to reject you. That is part of the purpose of parables. Now, that's a frightful thing, and yet it is indeed the truth. And so I've made these warnings to you here today that the Bible is going to be preached, and you are responsible for your response to what the Bible says. Now, we'll go ahead, and we will work on what Jesus meant by these parables. Let's take a look. We're back in chapter 4 again. Notice the content of this parable. There's a sower. There's a guy that is sowing the seed. And then there's the seed itself, which is, of course, the Word of God. And then there's the soil. That's us. That's us. There's very little said about the sower himself. It just says he's a sower. He could be a young man. He could be an old man. So there's very little said in the context about that at all. But in my mind's eye, I see a farmer, and he's got a large bag of seed, and he is walking, and he is throwing it on the ground, wanting to plant this seed. Now, this is not one of those great big fields that you see around us. It's probably a small field, maybe an acre or less, who knows. You know, nowadays we have these farm vehicles. You see them at night, and they're coming. They got two eyes, you know, and they go, rrr. It looks like something out of the book of Revelation, tribulation period, something going to come at you and eat you. That's not what the kind of sowing this is. This is a man who has his own field, and he is sowing the seed, wanting for it to grow. So little is said about the sower himself. More is said about the seed in the Scripture as we understand it. You see, in a physical seed, I was sowing some grass the other day, and I'm throwing the seed, hoping that it will grow. You know, it's underneath a tree, it's hard to get grass to grow. If you know how to do it, come and tell me, and I'll take your suggestion. But if it doesn't work, then I'll blame you, okay? It's hard. By faith, I went out and bought a big bag of this stuff, $50, you know, for this seed. You're supposed to be able to grow anywhere. Well, we'll find out. But a seed has in it a genetic code of life. That's what it has. And when that seed is put into the ground and given moisture, it will germinate and it will grow. I mean, and that genetic seed is there. It can be there for thousands of years. Archaeologists have found clay jars with seed that has been placed in graves and in the pyramids over in Egypt where it's really dry, and people have believed that they need to send food along with their loved one who died or some king who died, whatever. And so they put seeds in there. Well, archaeologists have taken some of those seeds that were put there thousands of years ago and planted them. They grow. There is power, there is genetic power in the seed. Now, in the case of what Jesus is talking about here, it's the seed of the Word of God. And there is power in the Word. The Scriptures tell us we are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So not much is said about the sower, a little bit is said about the seed, but much now is said about the soil itself. The danger is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to the genetic code that God places in your heart today? What's your response to that? What are you going to do with that in your life? Let's take a look. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 to 20. Jesus now explains to the smaller group what he meant. The sower soweth the word. So he identifies the seed as the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, verse 15 is referring back to verse 4. Take a look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, he sows, and then it comes to pass, as he sows, some fall by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, the birds come and eat it. So he throws seed, and some of the seed lands right on his path, rather than, and that can be frustrating, because I had little bald spots in my yard, and I'm trying to put seed right there in that bald spot, and I threw it down, and the wind goes, and takes it over there. So it just happens. You're going to waste some seed. It's going to be there. He explains that in verse 15. Again, he says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. What is that? Some people hear, like you may be in this condition this morning, I don't know. Some people hear the word of God. They do not understand it. They don't consider it. They don't care. All they want to know, what time's that guy going to be done? I hope he's not a long-winded preacher. That's their response to the preaching of the Word of God. Warning! If you hear the Bible preached and you don't want to hear it and you don't care about it, watch out, because it will probably not stick with you. Satan, who blinds the minds of those that believe not, will come and snatch that from you so quickly, and it will be out of your mind. That's the warning. Second, verses 5 and 6 of our text, in Mark 4, he says, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Jesus explained this second group of people in verses 16 and 17 of the text. He said, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Remember the other one in verse 15, immediately Satan came and took away the word. This one, they immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So we got some immediates here. This group is a group of people or a type of people where he uses the illustration, stony ground. You think of just a bunch of stones on the surface of the ground. That's not really what it is. There's a thin layer of good soil, and then right below that is a bunch of rock. So when a seed is planted, it can't develop roots strong enough actually to cause the plant to grow. In Arizona, where I was born and raised, we had that in just right in our backyard. You go down 5, 6, 7 inches and dig, and pretty soon you would have what we called caliche. It's almost like cement, caliche. And, oh, that's why very little grows in the arid climate where I was raised. That's what it's talking about in this verse. It's surface planting. There's very little root. Moisture is not retained. An immediate appearance, oh, it came up, way good. You know, that's probably going to happen to me next week when I go out there and look under the tree. There's some, but what happens 2 weeks from now? Well, we'll find out. I'll keep you posted. It dies off quickly due to heat. Here is a group of people that Jesus says, they listen to the word. And with joy they receive it. Preach it, brother. Yes, yes, that's good. Oh, that's good. That blesses my soul. Yes, I love it. But there's no real conviction of sin. There's no repentance. It's more like, I like this idea. It seems like it'd be good for my life. Oh, yes. Yes. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Then comes some kind of trouble. Normal troubles of life, usually. Sometimes it's persecution. What do you mean you're a Christian? What are you talking about? What are you doing? Look at your life. You're not a Christian. Whatever it is. Problems, difficulties, and the person, because the word has not really gone deeply into his soul and taken root and brought forth life as of yet, the person is stumbled and he quits. Wow. You know, I came across this story just yesterday, day before, from World Magazine. There's a guy by the name of Craig Hera. He was in the abortion business and he was an open homosexual. He publicly proclaimed faith in Christ, walked away from the State College of Pennsylvania abortion mill he operated, and with a week, he was giving testimony in churches about his conversion. Wow. Within 3 months, he was giving interviews to reporters, and within 6 months, he was on a pro-life speaking circuit, giving talks at fundraising banquets and put on by crisis pregnancy centers. Soon, media divisions of some major Christian organizations were interviewing him, and boy, he was making money all over the place for the pro-life movement. He doesn't believe it anymore. Doesn't believe a thing. I think they merchandised him. He thought it was a good idea, and he initially rejoiced at what, because I'm sure his conscience bothered him, but the man never really got saved, and now he denies the whole thing. That happens. We've seen it here. Somebody will, yes, I've been saved. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And 2 months later, they're out living for the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what Jesus is talking about. They didn't get saved and get unsaved again. They never got saved the first time. And Jesus is explaining that response to these people. Shallow, not true conversion. There's a third category of soil. Found in verse 7 of our text again. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. This is the thorny place soil, explained in verses 18 and 19 of our text. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now This is better dirt. This is better soil. But it's infested already with all kinds of weeds and unprofitable vegetation and all that kind of stuff. There's good growth, but the growth is choked out and it dies because there's so much else there in the life. The cares of this world clamor for our attention. Plus the deceitfulness of riches, materialism. I want this. I want that. It's a life that's characterized by, it could have really been good, but it was just so much consumed with what is here and now and what I can get and what I can have. Materialism. This is the professing Christian who never makes a break with the world. He may make a break with the world on the outside, but he never makes a break with the world on the inside. He never really marries Christ in the sense that he trusts Jesus as Savior and submits to his authority. Instead, he submits to whatever the church has been preaching lately, but there's not been a true personal relationship with the Lord. And because of that, Jesus is just another God on this person's shelf. That's all. I have this that I live for, and I have this for I live for, and this, and this, and oh yeah, by the way, Jesus is over here too. This person has never really submitted to the authority of Christ in his life, and because of that, he falls away. Was he a Christian already? I don't believe that he is. Jesus clearly teaches that you can make a profession and it can really look good by everybody around you, and yet you can turn away. Matter of fact, he talked about that in the book of John. He said, some of you would say you believe, you're going to turn away from me now. And they did. They did. They never believed to begin with. They never truly believed. Wow. And then there's the good soil. Good soil, verse 8 of our text. This seed fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then he says, will you listen? Will you, as an individual person, listening to the Word of God today, will you really hear this? What is your response to the Word? He says, verses 18 and 19, these are they which are sown among thorns. Not that one, no. These are they which, verse 20, they are which are sown on good ground. They hear the Word, they receive it, they bring forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Yes, that's the kind of a person you want to be. Now, I want to make some observations about the soil. All four types of soil heard the Word. Everybody here is hearing the Word today, unless you're sleeping. Wake up, okay? Everybody hears the Word. So let me just say this first. You're not doing God a favor by showing up at church. Well, I go to church. What else does he want me to do? Well, you think God ought to give you brownie points for showing up? You know, James said what? We have hearers of the word, but not doers. Okay? Hearing is a physical activity, but not only that. It's directed to the soul. All types of soil here this morning, hearing the word. Now, all the types except the first one understood, at least mentally. So that's more than physical hearing. That's, that makes sense. And it's not really a good idea to respond improperly to the word of God. And Okay, so all of them understood except the first one. And he just let me out of here. That was the first one, remember. I want you to notice this as well. That the stony place soil, there is joy. That's more than physical. That's more than mental. That's emotional. Whoa, I had an experience. Whoa! Oh, in church, I had goosebumps all over my body. And then I had goosebumps on my goosebumps. Whoa, it was good. That's emotional. And I'm not against emotion. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. That's not the issue. How you express your faith, if it is genuine, is not the issue. I'm not making an issue of that. I'm just saying that it is emotional, but it is not yet spiritual. When it is spiritual, our emotions will respond, and you may respond in a way that's different than the person next to you. Nothing wrong with that. Here's what I want you to notice. The good soil, there's fruit. That's more than physical. It's more than mental. It's more than emotional. It is spiritual. It is volitional. This is my life, and I've given it to God. Fruit is the test of true salvation. Christian character. Something growing. Something in your life that didn't used to be there. And some other things that used to be there that are not there anymore. Because there's growth and there's life. And it's taking away all the wickedness that used to be in your heart. Something else about these types of soil. Every category, all four categories of individuals depicted by the soil are responsible for their response to the preaching of the word. All four. Now, we say soil is the type of the heart. That doesn't mean that we can just say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am, and, you know, wait a minute. No. If you are unwilling to think about God's word, you will make yourself and encourage yourself to be like this wayside soil. You have a choice to make. It's not just that, well, this is the kind of soil I am. I'm condemned, or I'm one of the more spiritual. It's not that. It's your response to the word that shows what kind of soil you are, and it can cultivate your soil or uncultivate it. If your heart is so hard that you only give a surface response to the Bible, you're going to be like the stony place soil. Any good result of being here this morning or responding to what you study in your own study or wherever you study, any good response will be temporary. If your life is filled with so many distractions that you really don't have time to allow the Word of God to take first place in your life, it's not going to be the right kind of soil. You are responsible for the kind of soil that you are. It's not predestined for you. You have the ability to respond to the Word of God. And how you respond to that will indicate how God is going to then respond back to your response. That's what he's talking about in this text. That's why it's so dangerous to hear the Word of God preached and not respond to it in a proper way. That's why it's so important, because if you say, I know what he's talking about, and someday I'm going to make a change. I'm definitely going to make a change someday. What about today? Why not make the change today? What's the issue with, well, I just don't want to right now. All right, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I know it's true, and it would really bring me joy, and I see the whole thing, but you know what? Not right now. I really don't want to submit to the sovereign, almighty God right now with my life. That is a dangerous response to the Word of God. And I don't know when God cuts people off. I'm not saying that if you don't listen today, you don't have another chance. I'm not saying that. I don't know your heart. But what I do know is this. Jesus gave this parable, and then he explained it to his 12 disciples because they were going to do a lot of preaching, and most of the people would reject what they said. And Jesus is saying that's not uncommon. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to turn to God. They don't want to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They don't want to trust him as Savior. They don't want to rest in the finished work of Christ on the cross because they know that if they do, it will change their life, and they're not quite ready to change yet. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, there's an immediate application in the text, and that application, I want you to see the difference between these. That application is for those people in that time. They had been rejecting him. They were rejecting the miracles that he did. They were saying, we can't deny them, but we're going to say he did them by the power of the devil. They were rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives, and they, in essence, were rejecting Christ. That is unpardonable. You reject Christ, you're unsaved forever. You're unsaved. You go to your grave still rejecting Christ, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. That is the application for them. That is an application for us today. If you're not saved and God is working in your heart and you want to trust Christ as Savior, what will be your response today? Will it be easier for you today to trust Christ as Savior, or will it be more difficult? What about if you wait a week? What about if you wait 2 weeks? Is it going to be easier or harder? The more you reject, the easier it becomes to reject. You don't want to reject. It's dangerous to reject the teaching of the Word of God. That's an application for anybody who may be unsaved. Let me apply it for just a moment to Christian people. What is your response when the word is taught in your Sunday school class, or you read in the scripture something and God points something out in your life? I know I need to work on that, but not today. Is that your response? Maybe that's the reason that your spiritual life smells like that guy who hadn't had soap for 50 years. Maybe that's the reason that from your life does not flow the fragrance and beauty of Christ. Maybe that's the reason that you are not growing in the Lord. Maybe that's the reason that you find yourself making really stupid decisions and doing dumb things because you have a pattern of that. And God is saying, all right, if that's your pattern, I'm going to let you wallow in your backslidden state until you really get right. So there's a secondary application even to us as believers. Where are you? What is your response to the Word of God? That's the message for today. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Will you respond to the Word of God that is preached? I hope that you will respond in a manner that is proper. Let's bow our heads, shall we? I'm afraid we got folks that come every week. They don't really respond. They just like the church. They like the music. Boy, I like those men's numbers. And ooh, do I like so-and-so's class. But as far as any real spiritual growth, isn't much. Really isn't much. Why? Because of your response to the Word of God. And then there may be some today that you're still rejecting Christ, and it's become easier. It's become easier to put it off. You know, the devil never says, don't get saved. He says, don't get saved today. Put it off, put it off. And each time you put it off, you further harden your heart. Have you trusted Christ? Are you resting in Him for salvation? I hope that you are. Father, please use your word in our lives. May we respond properly to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymn books and turn to